I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to continue our community conversation about the effects of a ban on same-sex marriage. We're going to explore arguments from both sides. Proponents say children raised by non-traditional couples suffer. We're going to test that. Opponents say that a ban will hurt the state's economy by making it harder for companies to recruit skilled workers. We're going to test that, too. My guests will be Steve Fry of Eli Lilly and Dr. James Teague, a psychologist. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, find us on Twitter at WFYI, or on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by your membership and by Apparatus IT Security, identifying network vulnerabilities to help keep companies secure. More information on security assessments for businesses at apparatus.net. And by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th State University. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about really sort of the basic premises on both sides of the argument regarding same-sex marriage here in Indiana. And if you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI, and Twitter is WFYI. My guests are, and I should explain that the premises we're testing here are really the proponents' argument has been that raising children outside of proponents of HJR 3, I should say, House Joint Resolution 3, have made the argument that raising children outside of a traditional family structure hurts them in some way, is not the proper way to raise children. The opponents have argued that there's an economic impact to the ban, that it will make it harder for companies to find and retain top-flight talent in Indiana. So we've decided we're going to, this is a little different format for us, we're going to talk about these subjects and bring people in to address them. We're going to talk about really the economic impact with Steve Fry, who is with Eli Lilly. He's the Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Diversity there. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for inviting Lilly to participate in this afternoon's conversation.
Oh, certainly. It's good to have you here. And we also have with us Dr. James Teague, who is a psychologist. Jim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the invitation and the opportunity to speak.
Certainly. I'm going to get started, and actually, the listeners know that the format here is often kind of free-flowing. In this case, I know people have strong feelings about the issue of same-sex marriage, and we encourage you to call in and talk about that. I'm not going to ask these guys to talk about constitutional practice, though, or political ramifications, but really to focus on their subject areas, and as such, to offer some consolation to both to both Jim and Steve. I'm not going to ask Steve to weigh in on child welfare or Jim to weigh in on hiring practices. So how about if we start? We'll start with the proponent's side. What, Jim, what does the research show, at least about child raising outside of the sort of non-traditional one-man, one-woman family? Are there significant effects or anything, things that are traceable?
Well, they've been doing studies on this for a couple decades now, and as we started to look at what happens in these families, the body of the research tends to show that overall there's no significant negative impact to children being raised by same-sex couples. There have been a number of studies done, and they look at everything from gender identity to future sexual orientation, preferences for things like friendships, toys, normal childhood development things, and to date there's been no consistent finding that there's impairment involved with children who are raised in same-sex homes.
Is there any, you know, do we see any significant differences, not just in the quality of the experience, but just in, you know, equal doesn't necessarily have to mean congruent, some ways that experience is different?
Well, it can be different in the sense of sometimes interactions with peers. Certainly kids that are raised in a same-sex family have potentially other challenges that kids won't have in the heterosexual families. They may be teased more, or there may be other opinions that their peers would have that make it difficult. Certainly there can be exposure to bullying just based on that particular factor that kids from same-sex or from heterosexual couples wouldn't have to deal with. So there are a few differences.
There, it sounds like, though, and I please correct me if I'm oversimplifying here, those are not necessarily products of the family itself, but necessarily society's reaction to the family when you're talking about bullying, teasing, things like that. Is that a correct assumption? Or
that's correct.
Okay. Now let's talk about, Steve, I'm going to pull you in here. On the other side, what evidence is there that suggests that this, if HJR3 were to become law, and I am aware, there, as everyone in the room is, that it's not likely to happen for be on the ballot for 2 years, if at all, and it's in a different form than it was when it started. But what were the concerns? And Lilly took a stand, obviously, in regard to HJR3. What were the reasons for that?
Yeah, John, as you know, our business at Lilly is primarily dedicated to research and innovation. And as a result of that, we are competing for some of the best minds in the world. And certainly in today's economy, being more global than it has ever been, and certainly it's going to continue in that direction, we need to make sure that we can recruit and retain the best minds, no matter where they are in the world, to come to Indiana and to our sites. If you look at some of the survey data that is out there, particularly recently the Pew data that is out, clearly more than two-thirds of what I would call the young workforce of today believe in marriage equality. And certainly when we are trying to recruit these people to come to Eli Lilly and Company, they look at what's happening in Indiana with HJR3 and have concerns not necessarily about Eli Lilly and Company and the careers that we offer, the jobs that we have, but can they come and be a part of a vibrant community and be welcomed in every aspect of their life? And that's an important factor to not only young people who might be gay or lesbian, but also to their friends and their families and every aspect of their life. So we are finding it a real issue. We have many examples within the company where we have either lost people to other companies, to go to other states, even to other countries on some occasions, who believe that they will be more welcomed in those states than they might be in Indiana. So it is a real impact on our ability to recruit and retain.
Yeah, you've said something here that I find interesting. The premise of this is that it's an issue about sexual orientation. But if I understood you correctly, you were saying this is a real generational divide issue, that particularly going after that next generation of great workers is going to be much tougher. Is that the case?
It is the case. I mean, and again, I mentioned earlier the Pew survey data. We've been tracking this over time. And in the most recent surveys, two-thirds of what I would call the millennials, the people who in just 11 years from now will make up 75% of our workforce, two-thirds believe in marriage equality and certainly have concerns when they read about or hear about things like HJR3 in Indiana. If you look to the baby boomers or even my generation, 40% today believe in marriage equality or have concerns with constitutional amendments that are being proposed. So we do see this as a shift. I don't know that I would label it a generational divide, but certainly we know that younger workers and certainly younger people have differing views than baby boomers have.
And we've had Kirst Smith, who is the president of the Indiana Family Institute and was one of the leading proponents for HJR3 on the program. And Kurt's argument, I hope he'll call in if I'm not framing it correctly, is that there really isn't an impact, that the states that have marriage bans in place actually have better jobs numbers and higher rates of economic growth by most of the indicators than the states that don't. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think trying to make any singular direct correlation between something like banning same-sex marriage and economic growth in a state, there are many things that contribute to a state's economy and to growth. This would be a little bit like me saying there is one thing that is leading to the revenue of one thing we're doing that has dramatically changed the revenue of one of our products. It's never one thing that drives that sort of a significant change, in my opinion. I would not sit here and tell you that if HJR3 passes, it would be a complete and utter disaster for Eli Lilly and Company. I don't believe that to
be
true.
Yeah, you're not going to shut your doors.
We're not going to shut our doors, of course not. But my point is, and our point is that it is a competition out there, and every step we take has to help our competitiveness, not hurt our competitiveness.
We are talking about the issues regarding same-sex marriage here on No Limits. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI, and Twitter is WFYI. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to sort of back up what the gentleman from Eli Lilly is saying. My partner and I were considering moving to Ohio several years ago and actually chose not to because we would not be able to adopt a child together, which is something Indiana does allow. And we are both probably in the target range of what gentleman from Eli Lilly is talking about. I'm completing a PhD at IUPUR right now, and when I'm looking for jobs, I will very specifically look for states that marriage is allowed. And so I think that sort of backs up exactly what he's saying.
Well, thank you very much for the call and the comment, Richard. Good luck on the PhD. Thanks. Well, is there... I mean, have you tracked numbers on this? I mean, the anecdotal evidence you suggested is that you've lost people. But have you done any sort of studies, Steve, to indicate, okay, this is more than an isolated instance?
Yeah, John, as you can imagine, unfortunately, I get asked a lot, how many gay or lesbian employees do we even have at Eli Lilly? And the answer is I don't know because we only voluntarily know when somebody discloses.
Yeah, they're asked to self-identify if they want.
Exactly. So I can't tell you how many we have. And when we recruit or when we lose somebody, we often don't know, whether they're gay or lesbian or many other factors of their life. It's interesting. I hate to use the word anecdote because I don't believe it mm-hmm. actually describes mm-hmm. what I would call the real-life situations that we face every day. I could give many stories of our employees, very talented people who have either chosen not to come to Indiana because they are afraid they will not be welcomed here, and many who we have lost. If I could just give a specific
sure.
example, late last year we had somebody who left the company who was a long service employee who moved to Boston to be with a competitor because they wanted their relationship with their longstanding partner. They were married, a lesbian, to be recognized. And now this person is out in Boston working for a competitor on products that specifically compete against us. Now, to me, that is an enormous loss for Eli Lilly and Company, but also an enormous loss for Indiana because now they're working for a company that's going to hopefully produce value for the state of Massachusetts rather than the state of Indiana. We have many stories like that are real evidence that this would have been very bad for business in Indiana.
Are there ways when, it sounds like that was something that emerged almost from like an exit interview process. Are these questions you now ask as part of that? How do you get to that information?
No, it's a great question, John. Since HJR3 has sort of been, in the workings or, previously HJR6, employees come to me or employees come to members of our diversity office. They work within what we have an employee resource group that we are Pride organization that more than 300 people are members of here in Indianapolis, and of course we have them around the country and in many countries around the world. But people are very willing to come and tell you their stories because they're trying to make a difference to fight for what they believe is right for Lilly and certainly for Indiana. So we actually don't have to go searching. They come to us.
We are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits. Please join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Jim, in terms of the research on what's really the proponent side here, they'll make arguments that the traditional marriage is a fundamental building block for families. Is there evidence to support that and that just creates a more stable environment for children?
I don't know if there's specific research that points to that. I think much like the business world in parenting, there are innumerable factors that go into somebody being a good parent. Sexual orientation, according to the research, is not one of those factors. Things that make good parents have to do with things like consistency, providing a loving and warm environment for the child to grow and thrive in, being supportive of that child, meeting their needs. And those things don't really have a lot to do with sexual orientations per se.
We are talking about the issues surrounding same-sex marriage and a possible ban here in Indiana. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881 or email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. My guests are Steve Fry of Eli Lilly and Dr. James Teague, who is a psychologist. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the issues surrounding same-sex marriage, basically the non-legal arguments that both sides in that that highly emotional debate have advanced. We're testing the idea whether there will be an economic impact by talking with Steve Fry, who is the Senior Vice President of Human Resources and Diversity at Eli Lilly. That was the opponent's argument, that there would be an economic impact. And we're talking about the impact of same-sex marriages on child raising with Dr. James Teague, who is a psychologist. That was the proponent's argument. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Brian, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Just fine. What's on your mind, Brian?
Hey, I wanted to kind of take issue with the comment about that young people, either heterosexual or homosexual couples, are making choices about where to move to just because of if certain states allow gay marriage or not, or marriage equality or not. To be honest with you, and full disclosure, I could care less either way if HJ3 goes through or not. It's just I've heard this argument a couple times, and talking with friends, both homosexual and heterosexual, it's never been a comment that has come up of, well, when I'm looking to apply for a job at a different state or local, that I want to move there or not move there based on if they will allow marriage equality. I think there's a lot of economic issues that are involved in a decision of where to accept employment or to look for employment. But I want to take issue with the comment that we may have had a minority of people that have said they want to leave a job because they want their union to be recognized or their marriage to be recognized. But I think that's a minority. I mean, if we have a few people that have left because of that, I feel for them. I apologize for that on behalf of as a heterosexual, but I still look at it as, that's a difficult argument to keep making over and over again, and I take issue with that.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. I'm going to give Steve a chance to respond. Thank you very much, though, Brian.
No, look, I would say that there are many factors that lead to anybody's decision to join a company or to live in a state, for sure. I mean, if I look at our business again, we are trying our best to discover medicines, in some cases some very difficult to treat, in some cases no treatment at all, areas like Alzheimer's, diabetes, oncology, and we are trying to make sure we get the best minds around the world. Historically, we have been very successful at that, and certainly Indiana has been, I think, offers an awful lot. You know, we talk a lot about Hoosier hospitality in this state. I'm from the state. I love the state. I'm a big believer in Hoosier hospitality, but we're competing with other states who have, in some cases, mountains, oceans, things that we just cannot offer. And many of those states also welcome people who have same-sex relationships and support them, quote-unquote, equally. So this is a big issue for many people. I would never say it was true for everybody and that it was the only factor that led to their decision. It's interesting, when HJR3 was going, our neighboring state, Illinois, there was someone in their development group who was going on Crane Chicago Business Food that essentially said, Illinois is open for business and we're happy to have everybody from Indiana come to Illinois, if you want to come, we'll include not only your companies, we'll take your business, but we'll take everybody. And that's the kind of competition that is out there. I just don't think we need anything to make it more difficult for businesses that are operating in Indiana.
We're talking about issues surrounding same-sex marriage. Brock, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I'm curious, how important are these arguments going to be in passing this bill? I agree wholeheartedly with both of your guests, but it seems that the people who support the bill, their argument is based, you know, on morals. It's based on religion. I've never heard an argument in support of the bill that it isn't essentially based on that background. And it's hard to, it seems like it'd be hard to use this platform as a means of effectively blocking that bill.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Brock. I'll see if we can get an answer for you. And, Jim, we're not going to leave you lonely. We will get a question for you here in just a minute. But, Steve, you know, to some degree what Brock was asking, how effective did, you know, it wasn't just Lilly. I mean, it was Cummins, it was MS, it was a lot of big Indiana companies were making arguments with legislators, don't do this, you know, it will hurt us. How effective did you find those efforts? How receptive were the legislators when you were trying to make that case?
Look, I think the legislatures have listened very carefully to both sides of this debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of evidence of that. I think that the legislators in our case have certainly they want Indiana businesses to prosper. They want the economy here to prosper. They want to create jobs. They want to improve education. They want a tax base. Of course,
yeah.
They do. So I think they listen very intently to the arguments and you know have considered all of those in the conclusions they have drawn up till this point. John, I'm not sure what else to add to that.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, was that the most effective argument with them? Because, you know, to some degrees, at times Lilly was also making an equity argument that it's just, you know, this is not fair. But most of the time it was this, there will be an economic impact.
Well, I think, if I go back to there were 14 CEOs of either major companies or universities who just a couple of weeks ago signed and published an editorial in the Star and around the state. And I believe every one of those leaders and every one of those businesses believes that this is an important issue to get resolved in a positive manner for our businesses. You know, those companies employed 85,000 people in this state. So it is an important argument, and I think it was effective in having the legislators consider their position. I think the legislators do care about the economy of Indiana. They do care about businesses flourishing here, and they want business owners to want to start new businesses and people to come into the state to help grow the economy. So I believe it was impactful with them.
Okay. We've gotten an email question from a listener named Jerry, and if you would like to send us an email question, do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. Jerry's question is, on the previous No Limits program about the same-gender marriage, my question to the proponents of HJR3 was evaded by the response that the matter is not a civil rights issue, but that it's about the children. While I agree with those proponents that children are generally better off in two-parent families, I am unaware of any evidence that gay and lesbian couples make worse parents than heterosexual couples. Clearly, with half of the nation's babies currently being born out of wedlock, the traditional marriage model cannot claim anything like a perfect track record. I ask today's guests, and really I think we're throwing this one your way, Jim. I ask today's guests, what does the evidence say about the performance of same-gender parents compared with those of traditional heterosexual couples?
Well, again, the research tends to show pretty clearly across numerous studies that there is no significant difference between same-gender couples and heterosexual couples in terms of raising their children. Most of the research has been done on lesbian couples as opposed to gay men couples, but the research has been very consistent. They provide warm, loving environments. They're involved with their children. They actually encourage often more contact, if it's a case of divorce, with the child's father than sometimes heterosexual mothers will. They tend to involve grandparents. So in terms of keeping the kids socially connected, keeping involved in their educational processes, there's no difference between same gender and heterosexual couples.
Now, if I had Kurt Smith or another proponent of this, they would argue that there have been studies out there that show. Are those studies not legitimate, or you know, what are the standards? What studies are we relying on to make this judgment that there is no difference?
Most of the studies have been followed up and reviewed through the APA, the American Psychological Association. Certainly there are studies, and any time a person runs a study, you can find all kinds of outcomes. The question in science is, of course, replication. Can we do mm-hmm. it again?
Mm-hmm.
So there are individual studies that may point to a difference, but if you look at the studies that have been replicated, they tend to show that no difference is really the key.
We are talking about the issues surrounding same-sex marriage, specifically whether it will have an economic impact or what effect it would have on children. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, you know, a lot of the questions, and actually we've gotten a tweet from a listener who asks, you know, in terms of, and I've got to apologize to our listeners because I am not really fluent in Twitter speak here. Says, I'm interested to hear if the way that a legislator voted on HJR 3 will change LilyPad's donations for the future.
Yeah, I think actually that question is probably related to the Lily PAC.
Okay.
And our donations to our contributions to essentially the legislative process. The short answer is no. I mean, the way that we consider our PAC donations is our business is all about innovation. It's to drive innovation and drive the discovery and development of new medicines. And our PAC donations are really focused on issues related to the company's mission. So HJR3 and someone's vote either direction would not have an impact on our consideration for PAC donations.
We've gotten another question from a listener named Jay, a tweet. Says the gentleman from Lilly talked about a generational divide. Has he seen an educational one as well?
The short answer is I have not, but I don't have any data and have not studied that at all, John.
So we don't know if we're losing, because that is one of the arguments that you hear, is that we're going to lose the creative class here. You know, the Richard Floretta term that the drivers. And then we got a question also from a listener who didn't want to go on the air, who said, you know, are there any parallels here between research? And I'm going to throw this one your way, Jim, because it is on balance, it's more a psychological question between children and families of same gender couples and those of interracial couples from, you know, 40 and 50 years ago. Are there any parallels in the research at all?
I'm not aware of any research that's been done looking at those, but just from a clinician standpoint, I think some of the things that would make them similar is public fear of what that might mean for the child. I think a lot of times parents, and particularly non-custodial parents, worry about, in the case of same gender, well, what effect is this going to have on my child? Are they going to be teased and ridiculed and bullied? I think sometimes in mixed racial marriages, the parents can also worry about the same sorts of things, because I think from that view, it makes them different. And so anything that makes your kid different can potentially make them a target. And so parents tend to worry about that. The research doesn't always show that happens, but it is a legitimate concern.
Have you dealt or worked with same-sex couple families?
Yes.
You have? Is there any particular counsel or advice you give the parents in that case to deal with, you know, the specific challenges? And at least, you know, to summarize your argument, at least the research doesn't show that there's anything sort of inherent with same-sex couples. If there are stresses for children, it's about the way society reacts to those couples and families.
It's about the way society reacts, and if it's a situation where, again, it was a heterosexual couple that had children, got divorced, and now let's say mom is in a lesbian relationship, a huge factor is the father's input to that child on his concerns. So if the father's not supportive of that relationship or has some very negative feelings, it puts the child in a very difficult situation in terms of loyalty issues, because the mother on the one hand is saying, this is my new partner, she's a wonderful person, I want you to love her. Dad's saying, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this.
This is also my life, you know, right. Love me. Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted
so
you.
So it puts the child in a position where now both parents are saying very different things, and then it forces the child to figure out what's the right thing, which is very difficult for children to do.
We are talking about really the issues surrounding same-sex marriage here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You also can find us on Twitter at WFYI or on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. How did you, you know, that argument that we often heard is that really there's going to be no economic impact, Steve, and it's one that actually the listener, you know, Brian, who called in, said, you know, I've never heard that. Is there, you know, are there plans in place? Because it appears this issue is not going to go away. This debate and this discussion are not going to go away. It's just been kicked down the road a couple of years. Are the plans in place to try to get more detailed research on the economic impact of these things?
Yeah, certainly, John, I don't believe that as an individual company, we will go out and start to undertake research on the impact of this. As I was saying earlier, there are many things that drive economic growth or deter from economic growth. And we have solid evidence that we believe this is one that will impact this. And I go back to, you know, when in our business, we rely on key scientists, and you know, we have very few who ultimately will discover some new medicine. And now it's an army who's involved with discovering a new medicine, but you have someone who ultimately makes the discovery. If we are not able to, if one of these people that we are trying to recruit and unfortunately are unsuccessful with, and who go to a competitor who happen to live in the East Coast, the West Coast, another country, it is significant economic loss for our company, of course, for Lilly, but also for Indiana, talking about tax base and revenue again. So, you know, our point is let us have a fair chance to go out and recruit the best minds in the world, because that's what we believe is going to make the biggest difference for our company, for Indiana, and certainly for the patients who are relying on us to bring them new solutions.
What was Lilly's reaction to the sort of half-and-half nature of the outcome of this session?
Look, we are opposed to a constitutional amendment, full stop, right? Mm-hmm. So we think that is bad for Indiana and certainly bad for Eli Lilly and Company. We were very pleased that the second sentence was struck. That is
the one that banned civil union.
But it's not good enough, right? We need to put this issue to rest, and hopefully it's not just a matter of kicking the can down the road a couple of years, as you say, but it's a matter of now let's put this to rest and not bring it up again, because in 2 years it's going to be as bad for business as it is today. Nothing's going to change with that. So it's really time, we believe, to put an end to this.
And, you know, in terms of it, as we say, it's a couple of years down the road. I guess I'd also have a question then for Jim. I mean, this issue has been out there, you know, in the couples that you deal with, or the families of same-sex parents. Is it a source of anxiety for them? Is it something they talk about or think about or worry about?
I wouldn't say that that's a topic usually in terms of our therapeutic sessions. We're usually dealing with more, I guess, real-world things in terms of school problems or behavior issues or med management things. But I think in terms of, you know, if a parent doesn't feel comfortable or they do change jobs, that does have an impact on the child, because the child's going to be moving also. So that's a new school, a new set of friends, starting all over. So it certainly can have an impact, but it's not one that typically comes up in therapy sessions.
We are talking about same-sex marriage and the issues associated with it here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Twitter is WFYI, and Facebook is No Limits WFYI. My guests are Steve Fry of Eli Lilly and Dr. James Teague, a psychologist. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the issues related to same-sex marriage, specifically economic impact and the effect on children. And my guests are Steve Fry, who is the Senior VP of Human Resources and Diversity for Eli Lilly, and Dr. James Teague, a psychologist. David, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello, David. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard the doctor say a minute ago concerns about a child who is involved where his parents, the wife leaves and has a lesbian lover and they divorce or whatever, and the impacts on the child of confusion of loyalty. And I'm just wondering, is that any different for the child than like when the wife or husband has an affair and goes and has a relationship with even a different sex partner? Isn't there still loyalty issues? Are those different in same sex when it happens to same sex? You follow me?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, good question. Thank you very much for the call and the question, David. Jim, is there a difference? I mean, is the issue the gender in this case of the new partner, or the fact that there simply is a new partner?
Well, I think there are parallels, certainly, and that is a good question. Yeah, I think the person who is left often has a lot of anger about that can be trickled down to the child. So, yes, certainly loyalty issues can be present and just if the wife leaves for another man. I think sometimes the difference where the wife leaves for a female is that the impact to the father is often magnified on all kinds of levels. And so sometimes their level of anger and resentment about that is even higher. So I think that sometimes is a different qualitative experience for the child. But yes, it can be similar.
We've also gotten, it looks like an email question from a listener who says, I'm not sure that I agree about Hoosier hospitality. Hospitality typically indicates open and welcoming. You have people here in Indiana who are trying to break new ground and put Indiana on the global map. However, this is a state that appears to be set in its ways, and the entrepreneurs and 21st century thinkers are and will continue to be challenged here in the Midwest on many levels. Two loving parents has to be the best scenario, regardless of race, culture, or sexual orientation. That actually, I think, speaks to both of you, you here. I'll give Steve a crack at that. I mean, is some of it, aside from, we've talked about the employment aspect of this, but you made reference to the fact that Illinois is set open for business. It's sort of also, you know, shop here as well. I mean, buy from here. Are there companies now that are saying we're not going to do business with you know, companies that are based in states that have policies we don't agree with?
John, I don't know the answer to that question. I don't have any data on that. But I do. The points that I was trying to make earlier mm-hmm. are very consistent with what the email suggests. You know, when we are looking to recruit and bring people to Indiana, it is not just Eli Lilly and Company that they are considering. They're considering the community in which they live, the environment in which they're a part of. And I believe that Hoosier Hospitality historically has been an enormous advantage for us. People constantly tell us at Lilly that, you know, it was interesting. I hadn't considered Indianapolis before, but boy, as it turns out, it's a great place to raise a family. Our point is that can't just be for families of a traditional husband and wife. It needs to be for all sorts of families. So we do need to be a welcoming state. And as I said earlier, we are competing with states and countries that are willing to do a lot to get people to come and join them. And in many cases, because people are considering everything again, not just the job they're going to do, if somebody wants an ocean, we can't offer that. If somebody loves to ski, we don't have mountains, right? We have Paley Peaks down south.
Yeah.
So we need to take advantage of the things that we have to offer. And to me, one of those historically has been this idea of Hoosier hospitality. We need to stick with that and make sure that we are offering a welcoming environment.
Jim, I'm going to ask the second part of that question, which is really the two loving parents, regardless of gender. Is there evidence that shows that, you know, that having two parents is better than having one?
Yes. I think even in the lesbian relationships, what the research shows is that they tend to do a very good job of sharing the load. So there's not an undue burden placed on just one parent, which then leaves the child kind of missing out on that time with that parent. So because they share the load, because they communicate relatively well, that provides a more safe and secure environment for the child.
We are talking about same-sex marriage here on No Limits. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 866-476-3881. Shoot us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org, or you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, too. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Great program. Listen to it whenever I can.
Great. Well, thank you very much. What's on your mind?
Well, I guess I had a, I wanted to respond to the gentleman caller who seemed to indicate that people would not consider if they were relocating or looking for a job, it wouldn't matter, you know, what our policy or culture was like as it relates to the LGBT community. And I took issue with that. I'm married almost 30 years. I've had a 35-year career. My wife and I have relocated 7 times. I have worked for 4 major household name corporations in the United States. And every relocation, we looked at what was in the best interest of our marriage and our family. What's the community like? What's the cost of living? What's the tax rates? What's transportation like? What are the schools like? And we've turned down opportunities over those issues. So I think it's perfectly reasonable and rational and logical that a family that was in the LGBT community would look at the community they were being recruited for or looked being considered for a new job. So I just wanted to point out that I really think that is an issue when a family is looking to relocate or for a professional to take another position of, you know, where are they moving to? And that was my point.
Great. Thank you very much for the call and the comment, Kevin. I guess I'd like to take that and give both of you a chance to address it. You know, some of the argument often when it comes to economic development in this state or any kind of development is that it's basically about tax rates and that's it. And at least what I heard Kevin saying is there are a lot of other factors. Quality of life is a big one. You know, that, and it is more subtle than, you know, in terms of recruitment. I mean, if you're going out, Steve, to recruit new employees, are you selling them on the tax rate or are you selling them on, you know, what life will be like here?
When we are talking to a new recruit, we first and foremost sell them on Eli Lilly and Company and the career opportunities we have.
Which would stand to reason, but what's the second tier of the conversation?
The second thing we do is to talk about Indianapolis. We do talk about a great place to raise a family. We don't probably use the words Hoosier hospitality, but everything that means to you know the Hoosiers around the state, those are the things that we use to sell come to Indiana. To the caller's point, it's interesting, though, real-life experience. We have a person who works in our sales force out east right now who has a same-sex partner, a husband. We would love for him to come and advance his career with us in Indianapolis. He's been in our sales organization a long time. He needs to get to Indianapolis into a more corporate environment to broaden his span, so to speak. He doesn't want to do that because he doesn't think their partnership will be welcomed here. He's likely going to leave. His partner also works for in pharmaceuticals. They're probably going to be at one of our competitors out east because of his belief that Indiana will not be welcoming to his relationship. And it's interesting. It's not just about this constitutional change. It's also about the debate that is actually taking place because even the debate that is happening now are causing the state's reputation to be damaged. And, you know, the worst thing I believe that could have happened is if this would have passed the legislature and gone to a referendum later this year, the ensuing debate would have not only cost millions and millions of dollars, but it would have been divisive. The media would have been horrendous. And I know that we would have lost people from the company as a result of this, and it would have made it that much more difficult to try to bring people to Indiana as all that was happening.
We've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air says, I have always been under the impression that the basic justification of a bias in favor of traditional marriage lies with the state's interest in the production of reliable citizens. Given the long recognized parens patriae doctrine that my Latin is now 40 years out of date, that a state has a legitimate interest in its children and that a state cannot exist without productive citizens, history has shown that the best environment that serves those objectives is a married, fertile, heterosexual couple. Has that traditional belief been conclusively refuted? I'll throw that one to you, Jim.
Well, I think it's been refuted in the sense that that's not the only model that seems to work. Clinically, I see happy, successful kids in single-parent homes, in traditional heterosexual homes, in gay lesbian homes, in mixed racial homes. So there's not a one-way only that works in terms of developing children. There are multiple ways to do it, and that's why I said earlier there are so many factors. It's not just a person's sexual orientation that is the key factor in determining good parenting.
You probably see unhappy and unhealthy children.
Lots of them, too.
All of those, too. So it's not one or the other. We've gotten an email comment from a listener named Charlie who says, I appreciate No Limits for having these discussions, these conversations. It is very important to openly discuss these issues in a freely available medium. I just wanted to comment that I can't help but feel that the real issues are not being addressed on the gay marriage debate in general. We can argue studies that show economic impact or even child development impact, but the real issue that the conservative right has is that the act of gay sex is inherently evil and sinful. There needs to be more fighting on the idea that this is a civil rights issue and not simply about protecting children or preventing tax fraud. We may be able to win with the facts research that show these claims are not valid, but this will not help sway those that have deep-rooted issues with same-sex relations in general. And he thanks us for our time. I mean, I guess what I'll come back to a variation of the question here, and that is Lily's primary focus on this the fact that, you know, it does create economic retention issues, or was it that Lily just thought this is not right?
No, this is all about our business. It's interesting. When I was at the State House recently, I was asked a question of, do all of your employees agree with your position that the company has taken? And my response was, absolutely not. Our company, you know, globally employs 38,000 people. We have more than 11,000 here in Indiana. We really are a microcosm of society. And we have employees who have strongly held beliefs on both sides of this debate. We respect those beliefs fully, and we do not in any way try to prevent people from having those beliefs. The issue for us with our senior management team, with our board of directors, is we believe this is bad for business and certainly bad for Indiana. That is the entire reason that we have taken the position that we have.
Yeah, we've gotten an email from a listener who seems to echo your point. Listener's name is Dan. He says, I believe this has a wide-ranging impact on Hoosiers, as the opposition by many major employers clearly demonstrates. Indiana continues to regress into a 1950s mentality in our race to the bottom, along with states such as Mississippi and Alabama when it comes to citizens' rights. Iowa is considered by many to be a model conservative state, yet same-sex marriage is recognized and legal there. We already have a state law in place, yet our elected representatives chose to waste hours of a short legislative session spinning their wheels and generating negative publicity for the state. We are a heterosexual married couple who have decided to move to a more open-minded state, Minnesota. Indiana must move beyond this 50s-era bigotry to become more than a flyover backwater state. Is that part of the concern, too, Steve, is that, you know, you made reference to the fact it's not just the amendment, it's also the debate and the tone of the discussion is scaring people away?
Look, there's no question that the debate itself has had an impact on our employees, on people who we are recruiting. And we get the kinds of questions about, you know, what is it like to live in Indiana, and you know, what is the culture, you know, are people welcome? So I do think it's not just about the constitutional amendment. It's not just about the law. It is about the debate and feeling like people want to be a part of a state that is talking about these issues.
We've gotten an email question from a listener who says, I think it is worth mentioning that in general, a same-sex couple must make a conscious effort to adopt a child. This means they feel they are ready, willing, and able to care for a child, which I would say is one of the most important parts of being a parent. Is there some truth to that, you know, sort of thesis, Jim?
Well, I think there have certainly been more obstacles historically to same-sex couples adopting, and so because of the ordeal they have to go through, I think they have to be very confident, and that's what they desire, and be willing to jump through all those hoops. So, yeah, I think that's true.
We've also gotten a question from a listener named Jan who says the representative from Lilly, that would be you, Steve, said their representative's vote on HGR 3 would not affect their PAC contributions, that their contributions are based on what's good for research. He also said that passing this constitutional amendment would affect their ability to recruit top researchers. This seems inconsistent to me.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily inconsistent. I mean, when we look at our PAC dollars, we are trying to advance the mission of the company, which is about finding the best researchers, discovering medicines, and bringing them to patients who need them. If we believe that if HJR 3 was passed, it would reduce our ability to recruit the best minds globally, which would harm our ability to recruit. Now, we don't believe that an issue like this is the single determining factor again for our success, but we know that it is a big contributor to that. So we're gonna keep our PAC focused on things that will drive innovation.
Brian, welcome to the program. Brian?
Yes.
Hi. What's on your mind? We got about 20 seconds, so.
I know, I'm too late here. We probably won't answer, but this question's for Steve. I was wondering if you could explain briefly how a healthy debate in the legislature is bad for recruiting when it's a good example of how democracy works.
Well, thanks very much for the call and the question, Brian.
Yeah, I think the thing that harms us is the debate itself is being published nationally. And when someone is considering coming into the state or moving to the state, they are reading all the press and everything that is being printed. And if someone takes offense and thinks that Indiana in some way is stuck in the past or is not being as progressive as what other states are, those are the things that hurt us in the media.
And that how do you go about counteracting that when you're talking to prospective employees?
We spend a lot of time talking about Hoosier Hospitality, about, again, I'll go back to, it's a great place to raise a family of all types.
Do you say this is our legislator, it's not legislature, this is not the state?
I probably shouldn't comment, John.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you. This has been a very informative hour, and I think, frankly, far more substantive than anything we've heard in the statewide debate. So my guests have been Steve Fry. Steve, thank you very much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure, John.
And Dr. James Teague, who's a psychologist. You have been listening to No Limits. We will be back next week. Have a great weekend. Stay out of the rain. I am John Kroll. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producer, Jeanette Rhodes, and board engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.